Our gospel reading comes from Matthew's gospel. It is a wonderful, wonderful story that Jesus tells, but it's not what I'm preaching on. But I may write on my blog and the daily devotions about this, because this is just a wonderful text. Listen for God's word as it speaks to us in this parable. And when Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered them, "I will also ask you a question, and if you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or from men?" And they argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why did you not believe him?' But if we say from men, we are afraid of the multitude, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' And his son said, 'I will not.' But afterward, he repented and went. And then the father went to the second son and said the same thing. And he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two sons did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." And Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the harlots believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward repent and believe him." May God add understanding to the reading of that word. Join me in a spirit of prayer, if you would. Our Lord God, may the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable unto your sight. Those things said today that are true be engraved upon every heart, and those things said that are false may it be quickly forgotten and cause no harm. In your name we very humbly pray. Amen. Last week I had the privilege of being able to work with our senior highs and their senior high fellowship, and it's always a great pleasure because they're always, they always have such joy. They are always so glad to be there and to see each other, and we share meal and fellowship and everything else together. And at the end of the evening, as they began to share their stories around a circle, their high moment in life, their low moment in life, and their buffalo moment, which is a fact. That is some type of trivia fact. I then passed out a Christ card or a prayer card, and I said to them, "If you take this card and read it either in the morning or the evening, I want you next week to tell everybody how your life was changed or influenced by just this little verse or two." This morning, there's also Christ cards for you, and it's different than the one I did last Sunday night with the kids. But this comes from the letter to the Philippians, and it is a text for today. "Do nothing from selfishness, sense of privilege, or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own self-interest, but also to the interest of others." In Burlington, Iowa, behind First Presbyterian Church, there is a parking lot and a very, very steep brick alleyway, which is very treacherous to cross in the wintertime. One time, I was trying to go from the parking lot to the back door of the church through the boiler room, and I had leather-soled shoes on, and I kind of skated all the way down the alleyway to the street below where I could turn around and walk up the street that had been plowed in order to get into the church building. The back of this building is not unlike the backs of most buildings. It's where you have all the utility hookups, the big gas lines, and everything else that is going on and around. It is really an ugly sight. And there was this little patch of dirt that's maybe 4 foot by 5 foot in measurement. And it was just a pile of dirt. Until one day, a man by the name of Ralph Dewey, who was a master gardener, decided that what he was going to do was he was going to take some of his extra iris bulbs and he was going to plant them back down there. So he got on his hands and knees and he dug up the soil that had never been used before. He got rid of all the weeds and he put some fertilizer and then he planted these iris bulbs. And every year he cared for them and nurtured them. And then after he passed, no one else cared for the bulbs, so they were never divided. And within a few years, it was in the spring, it was just a bed of beauty. It's almost like a Monet painting with all the swirls of reds and yellows and blues and deep purples, a beautiful arrangement of iris. And yet no one in the city could really see that unless they went to the alley and the backside of the church. He did this because he wasn't doing it for the church. He was doing it for the glory of God. We had other unsung heroes. There was an electrician by the name of Mr. Shirley Webster. His wife's name was also Shirley Webster. And so they were known as Mr. Shirley and Mrs. Shirley. And when no one was around and nobody was watching, Shirley would get up on a ladder and he would change the light bulbs that had gone out, do all kinds of little repairs, but he never wanted anyone to know what he was doing. I caught him one night asking, what in the world is an 80-year-old man doing on top of a ladder? In the Epistle of Philippians, the apostle wrote, "Do nothing from selfishness, a sense of privilege, or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own self-interest, but to the interest of others." Getting down on your hands and knees to plant a beautiful garden in an alley. Climbing a ladder to replace light bulbs when no one else is around, not wanting any credit or any kudos or anything else, is true humble service. Jesus told a lot of parables. I read one of the parables to you a few moments ago. And in my younger days, I loved the parable that is found in the 25th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, the separation of the sheep and the goats. But as I've gotten older, I've appreciated more and more the Jesus parable of the mustard seed, of how the tiniest of seeds is planted and brings forth a bounty that is beyond any human imagination. When something is done for the glory of God, there are no small works. Jesus, when he was with his disciples, showed his disciples what it meant to be one of his followers. When he put on a servant's towel and bowed before them and washed their feet, the lowest of low of all the jobs. And he said, "As I have done to you, so you must do to one another. And that this world will know that you are my disciples by the love that you show to one another." We have been planting little mustard seeds in our own community and around the globe. You heard about two of them today. You heard about the little mustard seed with some of the women who are at disadvantage in our own community called GLOW and how lives are being changed. You heard about a mustard seed that we planted several years ago in Mombasa, Kenya, among the least, the last, and the lost, and how those young people, those young boys who are largely abandoned and ignored, are graduating from high school and trade schools and going to university. And just think of the number of lives that they're going to change. Even if they have never met us and do not know anything about First Federated Church, that's not why we do those things. We do those things to glorify God because we're disciples of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said that those who would take him seriously will not look for rights or privilege or honor, but will simply engage in humble service. There's a book of poetry that I read long ago. It was called The Faces of God. And I think it is very, very easy for us to separate ourselves between the them and those, to see the others, But one of the poems is called An Invisible God. An invisible God is a very handy kind to have. I can't see him, and hopefully the arrangement is mutual. It's like a small child covering his face with his fingers and calling shyly, "You can't see me." But when that invisible God shines out of the eyes of the faces I meet, there is no game of hide and seek. We are here. You see me and I see you. The game is over and a new awareness is upon us. There is no room for tricks now or little games of deceit. And always about life, there is an air of resolution of things having been previously decided. For I am as one who has seen the invisible God in your face. The Apostle Paul in his letter to the Philippians said, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling." This life in which we live, we are in the business of planting little tiny mustard seeds, little gardens of God's grace in every decision we make. There are no small decisions. The way we treat other people, as Jessica told our children, is how God judges our discipleship. Do nothing from selfishness, the Apostle Paul wrote, or a sense of privilege, or out of conceit, but in humility, count others as better than yourselves, and let each of you look not to your own self-interest, but to the interest of others. To God be the glory, both now and forevermore.